Hi, this is Pastor Billy Burke, and this is part four of our four-part series on how to keep your healing miracle. It's amazing that whenever we have been touched by God, what that does to your heart, to your mind. If you've had a healing touch in your body, I mean, it is something to shout about and to be excited about, let alone when you feel the results, when there is no more pain, when the disease is gone, when the report says clean, whenever you can say, God did it. Jesus was faithful. You know, and you say, I want to keep this. I don't want to lose this, because the devil doesn't give up. He's not that impressed with you getting healed, because he knows the history of mankind and human nature. And that is, sometimes we just we forget about what God did. We don't thank him enough, etc., etc. But you know, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose what God's done for you. You want to keep what God started. You want to keep the progress. You want to hold the line. You want to add on. You want to feel better, get better, be better. You know, you want to spread healing yourself. So you have got to keep that portion which God has given you. And I'll tell you this. There's a story in Matthew chapter 8. It's whenever Jesus went to visit Peter and his mother-in-law. And when Jesus went to Peter's house, and here's Peter's mother-in-law sitting, laying there on the couch, and the Bible says that she was sick with a fever. Now, when you're sick with a fever, you don't feel like doing anything. All you feel like doing is resting, getting strong, you know, staying hydrated, waiting for this thing to break, run its course. And it wasn't a terminal illness. It wasn't something that was life-threatening, but it was something that was taking out her strength in her normal functionality of the day. And Jesus showed up at the house. Well, the Bible says that when Jesus went in, he saw Peter's mother-in-law laying there with this terrible fever, that he reached down and he touched her, and she was healed instantly. And the fever broke, and then something very interesting takes place. The Bible says she immediately got up out of her bed and began to serve him. I want to talk to you about being healed to serve. You know, it's one thing, and of course, you know, we all want to get healed so we can not die. We want to get healed so that we feel better. We want to get healed so that God's word is fulfilled, that the prayer is answered, that the prophecy is completed. You know, we all want to get healed for all these reasons. I mean, I was praying for a man recently, and you know, he had an ear problem, and I said, how long have you had this? And he was a bull rider, a professional bull rider. And I just kind of chuckled inside. I thought, well, God's going to heal this guy, and he's going to go back to riding bulls. And so my point is that God wants you to get healed, not just to go be another strong employee, not just to go be another strong mom or a healed dad, but God wants to heal you so you can serve him. Healed to serve. I believe whenever we ratchet up our reason for recovery, we ratchet up our reason to be strong and healthy and whole, and we begin to declare, I want to fulfill the purpose of God for my life. I want to serve the Lord. I don't know of a higher call, a higher reason why God would surround you with ministering angels, why God would surround you with prophetic people, why God wouldn't go overboard to help you make sure that you keep everything that you've received. Because God is looking for people to serve him. He wants to be served. You know, we understand what it means to be served when we use the phrases like, well, he has served his country well. You know, he served in the armed forces. You know, or he serves in his church as an elder. So we understand that, you know, what the word serve means. It means to give your time, your energy, your all and your all. And well, listen, that's what God is after for you in the kingdom of God. And also even in this natural world that we live in. He's looking for surrendered people that he can pour in and pour through his presence, his power. And he's looking for people just like you to be healed for a bigger reason than just to be better. So many people get healed and forget all about the Lord. They forget all about who did it. They forget all about the power of God, the faithfulness of God. They just wanted to be better, and so they got healed. Well, they're out there, and they are high risk of losing everything again. But whenever you get healed, then you say, you know what, Lord, I want to think your thoughts. I want to speak your words. I want you to order my steps. I want to be yielded to you. Whenever you begin to have that kind of a approach, that kind of an attitude, because that's really what healing is all about. You know, really, healing is all about God touching your body, you know, just to get to the rest of you. See, he's after all of you. He's not just after, you know, making you healthy. He's not just after making you wealthy. He wants to. He's not just after giving you, you know, peace and joy. He's after you. God's in love with you. He went to Calvary for you. I mean, he's all about relationship. You know, there's relationship, there's fellowship, and there's communion. The lowest thing that God has to offer is relationship. But then there's koinonia, where you're fellowshipping with him. But the highest form of communication with Almighty God, with the Holy Ghost, is that communion. You know, I mean, it's where you think like him, and you talk like him, and you act like him. You respond like him, and you react like him, and where you really want him to be involved in every detail of your life. It's the details that the Holy Ghost wants to get involved in. I mean, that's where all the details are of life. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible where God tells you where to live, what color of dress to buy, what kind of car to have, who to marry. There's nowhere in there. I mean, the frame is there that you're to marry a certain kind of a woman, that God wants to bless you and keep you. But what color, where at, geographically, the details of our life is in the Holy Ghost. Is in the Holy Ghost. See, and whenever God touches your body and heals you, he's wanting you to see, I'm able to keep you. I'm able to bring you through. I have more in my gift bag than this. I can satisfy your life. I can give you something to do that'll fulfill you. You know, and all God is wanting from you in return, and this is what really makes the devil nervous. This is what really causes your healing to stay put and you to keep all of your progress, is whenever you say, Lord, I'm going to use everything you've done for me to serve you. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we don't really quote this verse appropriately, but it says, God says, I will give you power that you'll be witnesses. He doesn't say for me. If you read it, it says, you shall be witnesses unto me. Not witnesses for me, but you'll be witnesses unto me. First in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria. God was saying, before you take anything out and beyond, I want you to serve me. I want you to wait on me every day of your life, so that I can communicate to you steps that I want to order, thoughts that I want to establish, you know, desires that I want to put inside of your heart. I want you to have my desires. I want you to have my thoughts. I want you to avoid heartache and headache. You know, at one time years ago, a young teenager came up and she said, I don't know if I want to walk on the straight and narrow. It just seems like such a restricted life. It seems like it's no fun, you know, in that life. It's so, can't do this and can't do that. I said, hold on a minute, young girl. I said, do you know why it's called the straight and the narrow? She says, well, I have an idea. I said, let me tell you why it's called straight and narrow. The road is so narrow that cancer, disease, depression, and drug addiction can't fit on the road. Only joy, peace, happiness, satisfaction, and fulfillment can fit. There's only enough room for the good things. And that's why God has it narrow. That's why God's narrow-minded, because he's not open to drugs and alcohol and, you know, and perverted sex and sex outside the marriage. God's only open to the good things. And so he's narrow-minded in that capacity. She said, I never seen thought of it like that. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to go to him. He said, be witnesses unto me. I mean, every day of your life, Lord, I want to wait on you. That's what serving the Lord is. It's waiting on him every day of your life, even within your own routine. Sure, you have to go to work, you know, but where you work for a company and you serve a boss, but really within the framework of your work, you're serving the Lord with the skill, the strength, the ability. You may be a pro athlete, and you may play on a team and get your paycheck from a certain organization, and you want to make good all of your, you know, your availability and your attributes to these people. But guess what? You're really serving the Lord in pro sports. You're serving the Lord in Hollywood. You're serving the Lord in politics. You may be functioning, serving the Lord with your husband, with your wife. You're being a, you know, you're being a great wife to him. You're being a great husband to her. You're being a great parent to your children. But within the framework of everything we do, God wants us to see it as serving him in that particular area. See, it takes on a whole new meaning. And that's why God heals you. That's why he removes disease. He breaks yokes. He lifts burdens. It's so that you can be a better mom, a better dad, a better football player, a better actor, a better scientist, a better programmer, a better x-ray technician. You know, whatever it is, God's wanting you to excel in the marketplace ministry so that his glory may be seen. But he wants you to see that I want you to serve me in on that sports team. I want you to serve me. See, when you begin to look at it as not just serving yourself or serving the organization, but everything that I have. You see, listen to me. How? We own nothing. We own nothing. We are a steward of everything. When you and I got born again, the Bible says what? He bought and paid for us with his blood. The ransom note was paid. If God owns you, then how do you have a house? How's a house yours? How's a car yours? How's that your clothes? How is that your strength? How is that your ability? It's not. If he owns you, then he must own everything about you. But he gives us a lot of space. And sometimes learning the difference between being an owner and being a manager, it takes a while. Being an owner and being a manager is two different things. An owner is in charge of everything. He orders the inventory. Yeah, he orders the inventory. He orchestrates everything. But the owner also has all the responsibility of making sure that everything works. It's the manager's job just to keep it functioning. See, you and I are called to be managers, managers and stewards of our body. He owns our body. We're supposed to give him our body. He owns, you know, really everything that we have and all that we do. But he wants us to be yielded to him and serving him. Serving him with our bodies. You know, Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, if you're born again and saved, God already has your spirit. It's your body that he's after. Serving God with your body. Whoever heard of that? Well, what you put on it, how you dress it, what you put in it, you know, where you place it. Your body, you only get one of those. You only get one body per lifetime. When that body, that earth suit that you wear, when that thing is not here, you're no longer here. And so that body is, you know, how do you make that body last, you know, for the duration of the time of your testimony? Because Revelation says that we're supposed to remain here till our testimony is finished. You're not supposed to be going anywhere prematurely. It's not that people don't want to die and go to heaven. You don't want to go there a day, a second before the time that you're supposed to be there. Because your light, your love, your testimony, your shadow in the earth is needed right now. And how you really keep and maintain the healing touch that you received is by giving over everything you have, all that you are, to the service of the Most High King. God's able to keep you, but God can't keep what God don't have. Only what he's Lord over is he really responsible for. Only what he's Lord over is what he's really responsible for. Jesus never assumed responsibility for the masses. He only received responsibility for those who gave themselves to him. All whom you've given me, I've lost none. Who was God really responsible for? The masses? No, only those people that gave themselves to him. You know, and only what God's responsible for in your life is the part that you've surrendered to him. And that's why so many people have, you know, a mixture in their life. This is working, but that's not working. You want to keep that healing miracle. You want to stay free of cancer. You want to stay free of medication. Then something you've got to do different than what you did before you had that. Well, what is it? Well, let's look in the very first place we should be looking. How am I, how am I sold out to God? Is there any deeper level of surrender? Because surrender is the key. Do you hear me? Surrender is the key to everything. I mean, I grew up in the Catherine Kuhlman ministry as a boy. And I'll tell you, she taught on surrender way more than she ever taught on healing. You know, she taught on surrender in such a way where it was just amazing to watch someone give everything, give all to him. And as you watch people give all, who can you watch? Well, every character in the Bible that you esteem. These are men and women that were fishermen that dropped their nets. Well, they gave up more than their business. They gave up their personality. They gave up the way they thought, their own opinions. They laid everything down at the master's feet, and they said, I want to serve you with my strength. I want to serve you with my body. I want to serve you with my time. I want to serve you with my money. I want to serve you with everything that I have, so that I know that what I bring under lordship has a higher guarantee of being kept from the devil, has a higher percentage of not being stolen from me. Because if it's one thing that God is well able to do, he's able to keep that which is his. Say that, my God is able to keep everything that is his. But something that's not under lordship, something that's not under his divine direction, something that's not under his divine connection is more likely and has a higher risk of being stolen from you. Healed to serve. Healed to serve. Healed to serve. Making Jesus much more than just someone you visit in church on Sunday. Making Jesus something much more than you just listen to good preaching on Christian TV. It's, Lord, I want to open up my life to you. I don't want my life to just be a job, you know, a vacation, you know, owning a house, buying a car. There has to be much more to life than just everything that the world does. You know, people that aren't even born again and saved own a house, drive a car, have a job, have a dog, have fish, have kids. What is different about the child of God? What's different about people that have been redeemed, brought back from the land of bondage? Come on, let the redeemed. What's different about us who have been circumcised in our heart from the inside? What's different is that we are screaming for more of him. How many people come to the altar in our crusades and they say, I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. And I tell them, you're not getting any more of Jesus than what you already have. You know, when he came into you, he didn't come in pieces. He came in all the way. How do you get more of Jesus? There's only one way, and that is by him getting more of you. When he gets more of you, you get more of him. Oh, hear me today. I mean, when you give in to areas, when you begin to say, you know, I want to serve you with my money. When you say those words, I mean, then you are open to the Holy Ghost to come in and have you begin to sow seed, you know, here and there. How many people really hear God, you know, when it comes time to giving an offering, paying their tithes, you know, keeping up to date and being a regular giver to the kingdom of God and the work of God? So many suffering today with lack. So many people today suffering with sporadic increases of income. And yet all the while God is saying, I have a 30, a 60, a 90, a 100-fold return. God is saying, I have the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold and the silver's mine. God is saying, I can cause the food in your barrel to last for many, many days. As a matter of fact, I can have 12 baskets left over from my last miracle. God's all about surplus. And you would think that with all of the revelation that's plummeting the earth today about seed time and harvest time, you would think that people would just be open to be a part. Well, no, a lot of people have not brought that part of their life. They're not serving the Lord with their money. They may be serving the Lord with going to church. They may be serving the Lord with helping out in Sunday school. Well, listen to me. God wants you to be functioning on all cylinders, especially right now in the area where you lack. You've got to look and say, where is the lack in my life? Or where have I come into a blessing and I don't want to lose it? You know, and that is, I've got to get more open. You know, I've got to get more open. I've got to serve God with everything that all of my resources. Say this with me. God is my source, which is only one. Come on, say that. I only have one source, but many resources. Money is a resource, never a source. Friends and professional people are a resource, never a source. Knowledge is a resource, but never a source. Equipment is a resource, but never a source. When you make a resource a source, you start getting into trouble. You know, the tail starts wagging the dog. You need to realize I have one source in my life. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:9 says, I am the door of your life. Walk through me, and then I'll connect you to what? I'll connect you to information. I'll connect you to money. I'll connect you to the right people. See, God's the connector. But he can only connect you whenever he has you, when he sees you want to serve him. You want to serve him with your skill. You want to serve him with money. You want to serve him with excess time that you have. You want to serve him with dreams, you know, and aspirations you have of the future. He wants to be so intricately involved in the everyday part of your life. But all that surrender, we fight that. We fight that. You're telling me, Pastor Billy, if I just raise up my hands and surrender, then I just declare myself surrendered. You can declare that, but working it out, because your flesh is selfish. You know, your flesh isn't selfless. Your flesh is selfish. And as I said, we want to break some patterns and some habits of some things that were taking place before you were sick, before you got your miracle. But now that you have it and you're walking in it, we want you to keep it. And what's the most sure way for you to keep it? By bringing every aspect of your life under the Lordship of Jesus, and by saying, Lord, I want to use my healing to serve you. This is no longer just all about me. It's no longer just about me going back to work or being able to play ball or drive my truck again. It's more than that. It's more than that. Out of gratitude, out of my need to not lose anything or lose any ground that I've gained and conquered, out of my need to build on and add to so that my children have a legacy, so they can see Dad and Mom walking in the victory, taking the high road in life. What can I do? Lord, I want to serve you. I've read the newspaper for years. I've read Sports Illustrated for years. I've read Motor Trend for years. But, oh, God, now I want to serve you with my hunger to knowledge. I've surfed on the internet, and I've discovered about dinosaur bones and plants and baseball cards. But now, God, I want to take my quest for knowledge, and I want to serve you with my hunger. I want to learn about you. I want to learn about the second coming of Jesus to planet Earth. I want to learn about the end time revival that's going to cover the face of this globe. I'm hungry for information that Genesis through Revelation. Oh, God, I'm going to serve you with my hunger. Serving God with hunger and serving God with your money. Serving God with your time. You know, how much time do we have where we just find ourselves just wasting time? And that's why Paul said in the great letter to the church at Ephesus, you know, redeem the time for the days are evil. Serving God with your time. Waking up in the morning saying, Dear Jesus, what can I do for you today? How can I best serve you? Here's what kind of time that I have. I'm going to serve you at my job. I'm going to serve you as a parent. I'm going to serve you, you know, as someone at my church. But is there anything else that I can do for you today? Holy Spirit, I wait on you. I wait on you. What's the Bible say about that? They that wait upon the Lord shall be renewed, mount up with wings as an eagle, run and not weary, and walk and not faint. I'm serving you with my time. You know, even if it's just the willingness, it's not that God's going to come down and try and monopolize and take every ounce of, you know, of your day and have you doing something here and there where you don't have any time for recreation or creativity or fun or pleasure. No, God's looking for willingness, just willingness, you know, not my will, but your will. Not what I want to do today, Lord, but I lay it down and what do you want me to do today? Just that will, that yieldedness. I'll tell you the power of a yielded vessel. We may never know the power of a yielded vessel. God, I have this plan, but you know, I want to serve you today. If I can better serve you, that just reflects openness and yieldedness and surrender. And as I said, God's not planning to just invade your life and jerk you around and have you doing everything you don't want to do. There may be some times that God will have you make a U-turn. You know, change a plan here, change a plan there. You know, do this, don't do that, of course. But most of the time, God's just going to say, you know what? I want you to be willing. I want you to be yielded. I want you to be able to say yes and amen. I want you to be able to mean it, because I want you to use your healing to serve me. And see, when you're open to serve God, how many places can he open for you? It's amazing how many people are closed to places where money would flow, where they would meet the right people. People are so closed today to songs, to church meetings, to preachers that are holding a blessing that's without measure for them. It's amazing how much people are just locked into tradition and locked into, you know, the way they've been raised and their own opinions. And wait a minute, is everything you're functioning in, has it worked for you? Has it produced fruit? Because life with God is much more than just about faithfulness. Some people say, well, all that counts is how faithful you are. Well, I'm sorry, that is not accurate. The Bible also talks about fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is just as important as faithfulness. You can be faithful somewhere and not have any fruit. God's not satisfied with that. God wants your life to be fruitful. John chapter 15, he says that you would bear fruit. Then he says that you would bear more fruit. And in the same chapter, that you would abide and have much fruit. There's a progression right in John 15. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. It's God's desire that you bear fruit and that your fruit remain. Oh, do you hear me today? Well, how do we bear that fruit? By really taking inventory and finding out, are the thoughts I'm thinking producing fruit? Is where I'm putting my actions and all I'm spending all of my time, is it producing fruit? You know, is my attitudes, are the prayers I'm praying? You know, are my friends? You know, God wants you to have a fruit-producing life all around you. He don't want you to be barren. He don't want you to have a bad crop. He don't want you to have hit-and-miss fruit. God wants you to have so much fruit. I mean, you are just there, what, for your own pleasure and for also people to pick off of your vine and eat your grapes, get drunk off of your grapes. That's what God has planned. But sometimes we fail to see that the areas that God wants us to serve him in are areas that we first have to bring to him and surrender, you know, and you to keep your healing. Oh, hear me. We're getting to the very important part of this. Healed to serve. Just that attitude right there. Lord, I want to be healed from these diseases, this pain, this cycle of madness, this addiction. I want to be healed so that I can be untied from all of this. All of the time I put into this, all of the mental thought, all of the planning, all of the way that it's inhibited me, all of the thing, oh God, I want to get free from this so I can now be free to serve you. Just that willing heart. Just that willing heart to serve him is something that God is attracted to. It's something that he looks for in any man or any woman that he wants to what? That he wants to bless, that he wants to fulfill, that he wants to put an anointing on, that he wants to entrust with more favor and more blessing and more exposure and more, you know, all of the above. He wants that. Am I going to use what God has done to just embitter my life? Am I just going to use this to go make money? Am I going to use this just to be a, you know, I can say I'm living longer? Am I going to be ashamed, you know, of telling people? Am I going to be, you know, still the monopolizer of my own time? Am I not going to change any of the way things I'm thinking or any of the things that I, any of my practices? Am I still going to have unforgiveness towards people? Am I still going to be, you know, the same person that I was before? No, 1,000 times no. No, because you are going to be healed to serve. You're going to be healed to serve. You're going to be so grateful. You're going to say, I'm so thankful for what God has done. I now owe him. And that's the correct thinking. I owe him everything. To be free from this pain, to be free from this disease, to be free from this habit, you know, to be free. Oh my, we watch people in our crusades where there are no organs. God creates organs. Where the feet are, can't even, or they're called claw feet, where they don't even, there. And we just saw a lady in Pittsburgh where her bones moved in her feet and her feet went flat. We've had people born blind, driven to the meetings blind. Close your eyes, what do you see? Nothing. And leave with their eyes open, shouting and rejoicing. I mean, we see people, I mean, all types of malady, all types of sickness and pain and dysfunction. It breaks your heart to see it. And God steps up and sets people free from deep, dark depression. He's setting some of you free. Even chains are breaking even now as you listen to this. You may have been healed in your body, but oh, He wants to set you free in your soul. Wants to release your mind and your emotion. He wants to break the curse over your money. He wants to break that hand of that claw of darkness that has a hold of your one of your loved ones. God's all about getting to you, getting to all of you, you serving Him, and then Him using you to get to the rest of your whole family. Surrender has such a ripple effect to it. There's no way to put a price tag on it. There's no way to put any value on it other than whenever you have said to God, I'm going to serve you with my time. I'm going to serve you with my money. I'm going to serve you with my body. I'm going to serve you with my thoughts. And the moment you begin to make those declarations and you begin to reach out to God in that way, then God releases, watch me, God releases a grace in that area. In other words, if you say, God, I want to serve you with my thoughts, then God's going to release a grace around your thought life that's going to help keep a lot of the wrong thoughts away from you. Whenever you say, God, I want to serve you with my body, sure, the devil's going to come after that. But guess what? God's going to release a grace to enable you. What's that grace do? It empowers you. It enables you to do in what you can't do in your own power. None of us can do very much without the grace of God functioning. But God's waiting for a place to what? To aim that grace. God just don't drop grace aimlessly. He's looking for a target. And the moment you say, Lord, I'm going to serve you with all of my money. I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to be a better steward, a better giver, a bigger giver, a more consistent giver. Then God sees the intention of your heart. God begins to release a grace over you. He begins to do some warfare for you on your behalf. Jesus, remember now, Jesus is in the heavens praying for you and I. You know, everything we receive on the earth is by way of the Holy Ghost. But you remember whenever Jesus walked up to Peter and he said, the devil wants to sift you like wheat, but I've been praying for you. You know, Jesus, you know, when he begins to hear your cry for, I want to use my healing to serve the Lord. I want to use my breakthrough to serve the Lord. I want to get free of this so I can put more time in the church or help out my missionary friend or read the Bible or bring my children into a better walk with God or serve Him more where I work. Whenever God begins to see that sincerity, I'll tell you what, He releases a grace all around you. He serves notice on the devil, on the dark kingdom. Hands off my son and hands off my daughter. You sure still will have to do your fair share of fighting, but you'll now have God fighting for you on another level, and you won't lose any ground. You won't lose any healing miracle. You won't lose the healing of high blood pressure. You won't lose the healing of cancer or cataracts or macular degeneration of the eyes, osteoporosis, osteoarthritis. You know, you won't lose any of these things because now God sees what you want to get healed to serve Him, not just with your testimony, but with your whole life. You know, many people serve God with their testimony while they still live an unsurrendered life. And that's why so many people lose their miracle, lose their healing. That's why so many people end up backslidden and away from God. Not you. As I speak this today, as you hear this broadcast, as you hear my voice coming through to you, I pray that you open wide and you begin to see a looming larger picture. There's a big picture over your life. The little picture is the breakthrough you need right now. But the big picture is what God wants to do when you begin to use your recovery as a means to serve Him. Because, oh, is He looking for laborers? Is He looking for some people to bring healing, to carry the healing anointing, to carry the prophetic anointing, to carry the anointing of helps and service? Is He looking for people to shine through? Oh, is God looking for people to cast a shadow so that others may jump in and receive their blessing? Are you one of those? I pray today that as you listen to this series, that inside of you there's a hunger for you to give up more of your life to Him. How much more can you surrender? Well, in you know, if you just voluntarily in your heart, in your mind, you say, I surrender all. That's what we sing, I surrender all. But realistically, we give up little beats at a time. Even though we sing, I surrender all, nobody really surrenders all right away. It's a fight. It's a fight to hold on to your own want, your own desire, your own pleasure. But I want to tell you something. If you want to keep what God has given to you, begin to say, you know what? I'm going to use this healing miracle. I'm going to use this deliverance. I'm going to use this breakthrough. I'm going to use this faithfulness of God that He's done for me. That does it. I'm going to serve Him. And I'm going to sit before Him, and I'm going to be a witness unto Him. I'm going to ask the Lord every day, or until it becomes every day, as much as I can, as much as I can get into a habit-forming kind of a life. Your habits will create your habitation. What you do every day will determine your destiny. Your destiny isn't just going to happen one day. It's what you do every day in those daily habits. And one of those daily habits should be, I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I want to serve you more now than ever in my whole life. With my body, with my thoughts, with my money, with my time, with all of my energy, with all of my strength, I want to serve the one who was faithful to me, who provided for me a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new lease on life. I owe you everything. Thank you, mighty Jesus. I pray you captured this today. I pray you captured the meaning and the importance of you serving Him with all that you have. If you're serving Him at the church that you go to, that's wonderful, but add to that serving Him in the home where you live, serving Him in the place where you work, serving Him in the place where you recreate, serving Him in the holidays, serving Him in the valley, and serving Him on the top of the mountain. Begin to broaden the dimensions of what it means for you to serve the one that paid everything for your complete freedom, for your healing, for your deliverance. I'll tell you, when you serve the one that healed you, it gets very difficult for that healing to be stolen, because to get to you, they have to go through Him. Father, I pray now in Jesus' name, that all of the precious people listening to this broadcast will be touched in a supernatural way. I pray that you'd begin to strengthen their desire, their hunger, to serve Jesus in a new way. God, that they would realize that the only way they get more of Jesus is by Jesus getting more of them. And in so doing that, how much more their life becomes airtight, how much more their life becomes sealed from a lot of the stuff and the arrows and the darts that are sticking in so many other people. God, I pray there'd be a new willingness, you know, for people to say, Lord, I want to serve you, and begin to put a name on the body, on the money, on the friendships, on the work, in their career, you know, in their acting career, you know, in the place where they raise animals, in the compounds, and even in the prisons, even in the places and people that are incarcerated. How much this can go for you as you say, Lord, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to use all of my born-again experience, all of the healings I'm going to use to serve you even in this most difficult place. I wait on you, Lord, each and every day. I wait on you because I owe you everything. You own me. You own me. I'm just a manager. I'm just a steward. I'm a steward of my body, steward of my money, steward of my time. You own everything. Help me, Master, serve you better so that I may maintain and keep all that I've captured. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.